radio.org.au.
You're listening to Bruce Downs, The Catholic Guy, on cradio.org.au. This program was originally recorded for ACC TV.
Wherever you are around the world today, it's great you can be here with us. We're living in a time when it's possible to be so lonely and even lonely in a crowd. Well, as Christians, the church teaches us and the scripture teaches us right from the very beginning that we're meant to live in community. Community has different forms and different shapes. Well, in this message, we're going to talk about how we can be a community as a group with the people around us to meet their needs, to meet our needs, so that we can be more effective in loving God and serving the people around us. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. So why don't you go get your family, your friends, get everybody you love. Sit back, relax, enjoy yourself. I know today's message is going to bless you.
The truth is, for many people, you go to church every Sunday. Anyone ever been to church on Sunday and you walk in and walk out and say hello to no one except at the sign of peace? Many people would have that experience. It's not because people want their communities to be like that or parishes want their communities to be like that. It's just that that's what people experience in many cases. And if you're one of the few in the kind of the core of the core where you know a few people there, you may not experience it that way. But church's community is if we're to reach people who are saying, you know, church is irrelevant, they've got to experience it as something that's personal. How do you actually do this? I spoke at a men's breakfast once, a business breakfast, I should say, not a men's breakfast, a business breakfast once, and at the end of it, this man came up to me and he said, are you suggesting that I run my business like a Christian? He said, do you think I should run it like a Catholic? And I said, well, yeah. And I remember he was quite aggressive, and I said, yeah, that would be the general idea. And he said, if I did that, he said, I'd be slaughtered in the marketplace. I have to cheat if I'm to be competitive in the world. So how do we help people to apply the Christian living into their life? But if you want to bring genuine life change and take people towards sainthood and holiness and a real transformation of their life, you've got to grapple with the everyday living which happens in our lives. But for many of us, it's very easy to stay up the top because we can just teach and talk, and we've got so many smart people in the church who are so well-lettered and studied that the reality is that we don't get ourselves to that place of growth. So tonight what I'm going to talk about, this evening what I'm going to talk about for a little while, is I'm going to talk on what is a community group. What do I mean by community group? If you have a look at that third one, what do I mean by community group? On your sheet of paper it says a community group is a small group of people that you share life with on a regular basis. A community group is a small group of people that you share life with on a regular basis. You have a look around this group. This is already too big to know everybody, isn't it? You couldn't do life with this kind of group. It would be possible to know everybody. It's impossible to share life with everybody and do life. You know, you can kind of do life with two or four or six, maybe eight people. That's really about all. They say if you get to the end of your life and you've got two or three friends, you've done well. You can't do life with lots and lots of people. Now, this is not a new concept in one sense, but for many of us, because we come from many different church groups, or we've come from even in society, workplaces different, the whole idea of a small group, we've got it in our head. And for many of you, you're immediately thinking about the small group that's in the group or the church or place you are. I almost guarantee that what I understand by small group is different to you. And what I'm going to ask you to do is just put that aside. I'm not saying what you've done is wrong. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying anything about it at all. I'm just saying that we're talking about something that is different. It's a little bit like the Redemptorists, or the Dominican Sisters, the Mercy Sisters, the St. Josephites. They're all teaching sisters. They're all teaching orders. They're all Catholic. But if you go to each of them, there's a different flavour in each of their things because of their spirituality, because of who their founder was, what the founder's particular charism was, and how that founder saw the world, and how that early group saw the world. So I'm asking you to put it aside. Now have a look at the scripture in Acts chapter 5, verse 42. It says there, "And every day in the temple and at home, they did not cease to teach and proclaim Jesus as the Messiah." Again, and every day in the temple and at home, they did not cease to teach and proclaim Jesus as the Messiah. I want you to circle the word temple for me. And then I want you to circle the word home, right? Circle the word temple and then home. And if you've got a space there, the word temple refers to the large group. You might say, if you were saying it today, that word temple refers to church. And the word home refers to a small group of people. A small group of people. We meet at church, we pray, we worship, we gather around Eucharist as part of the universal Catholic Church. But we fellowship and love in our daily lives with a small group of people. I've asked you this question before. Who knows you really? Who really knows you and loves you despite what you're like? I mean, who really? Have you ever met someone and they're all bravado and front and mask, and then you take them out for a cup of coffee and they're someone significantly different? We all have. And we all have our game face, don't we? We all have our face that we present to others. But yet in the Christian community, it's meant to be a little bit different than that. At church, we listen and we watch someone. But in our community group, we're listened to, and we listen to others who are just like us. At church, we can be faceless. I can get in and out of church and no one recognizes me. In our community group, we can be ourselves. In the world, we can go unnoticed. But it's not possible to go unnoticed in a community group. It's not possible. And so the vision of the small group leaders is this, is to see every person who attends the Catholic Eye Impact communities involved in a vibrant and healthy community group. It's already on your sheet. To see every person who attends involved in a vibrant and healthy community group. Circle the words vibrant and healthy. All right. Vibrant means it's got life. Healthy means it's good life, right? To see every person who attends involved in a vibrant and healthy community life. I've said this to you many times before. Church, when it really, really is working well, is a place where we love and are loved, where we serve and we can be served, where we can know and be known. And there are many. We're living in a world of epidemic loneliness, and we're living in a world of epidemic loneliness in the church, because many people come, turn up, go home, and they're struggling with different things, or they've got great hopes and desires for their life, and no one knows them. Now, here in the Catholic Eye Impact communities, we can't achieve the vision of where we're about. We cannot achieve it without community groups. What we're about to do simply will not work. You can't take all the other bits and say, oh, we could do everything else and this won't work. If this doesn't work, we utterly are a failure. It will not work. We will not build. No one will. We will not be able to hold anybody because we will be too far away from everyone's life. Unless people are in a group where there's five or six people to love them, this will not work. Now, since we've been going, we've had 114 people come through, I think it is, right? And we realised in week 5 and 6, we said to everybody, invite people. And on those 2 weeks, we had big weeks. And if you have a look at the sheet, because we keep a sheet of everyone attends, because it tells you something, is those 2 weeks we spiked in terms of numbers, and there's a whole group of people, most people who only came once. And then there were some people who came twice, and some people who came 3 times, and some people who came 4 times, and then they... 5 times, and then they disappeared. And all along, we knew what was happening. We talked about it. The team talked about it all the time. We realised that the reason it was like that was because there was no connection with anybody. And the only way you create connection is through community groups, in church groups. People just don't come, or they'll come for a little while if they think it's enthusiastic or it's going to be good or it's got gimmicks or it's going to be flash. People come for a bit. But the majority of people do not come. And I've done some pretty significant study. Matter of fact, I spoke on this in Perth the other day, and I said to them, I was speaking to the leadership team in Perth. Last Wednesday night, I met with the leadership team in Perth. And I said to them, I have studied every significantly large church I can find in the world, that where there are statistics, and there is not a single large ministry or church in the world that does not have community groups of some form. There's not a single one in the world. I can't find one. I can't find one. If you can find one, tell me, but I can't find one. And I have looked long and hard, and as my team would tell you, I've got a lot of books. And I've travelled to a lot of places. I can't find a single place. Now, there's a difference between being a church family with community groups and a church family of community groups. There's a big difference between being a church community with community groups and a church family of community groups. You can write these down. A church family with community groups means it's something that we do. It's something that we do. We just happen to do it. It's one of the things you do in our group, just like we've got music ministry or we've got hospitality ministry. We do it. But a church family of community groups means it's who we are, which is very different. It's who we are. We are a church community of communities. Right? I could have written that down if you'd write it there, but I didn't. We are a church community of communities. We are a place where everybody is loved and loves others, serves and serves others, knows and knows others. We're not just a group of people coming around a project. We're not just a group of people who want to reach people who don't go to church. We are the church. We are the Christian community in that sense. In our church community, the spiritual growth occurs in community groups. To be honest with you, very little happens at the major meetings that we'll run. We'll hear a bit of teaching and it sets culture, but spiritual growth will happen in community groups with 5 or 6 or 10 people. That's where all the action is. Because right now you're listening to me, but if this little group over here were having a conversation and Aaron was having to say, this is where my life is. This is who Jesus is to me. This is what this scripture means to me. My husband and I, we've been fighting, and in the midst of it, I don't know where God is. I'm thinking of selling my house and moving to Alice Springs. What is God saying about that? That's where spiritual growth is. It's not here. This is information. And it's information that sets culture, and it's important, but it's not where ultimately people grow. The truth is, for most of us Catholics, we're just disconnected from the community if we're truthful. That's what the statistics tell us. Now, it doesn't need to be that way. It doesn't need to be that way. And imagine if we can get this to happen in parishes as well as among ourselves. It would be tremendous. Community groups is how pastoral care takes place. It's how we look after each other. The truth is, in a group like this right now, I hear about 2 weeks after or 3 weeks after when someone's been sick or ill or they're a bit depressed or they're going through some downtime or they've got challenges with their kids or a health issue. But in a community group that's in each other's lives, you can't get through the week where no one knows. I remember hearing the story consistently of one guy who was a pastor in his own church. I heard priests say this too, where small groups run. You know, you hear someone gets taken to hospital and he races down the hospital thinking, I've got to go down there to do the last rites, and he gets there just to find the whole community group is already there sitting in the waiting room because they're in love with this person. Surely that's the church, is it not? Or do we just handball it off to Father and say, hey, Father, you do it all and we'll just come along for the show? Or does the priest have a place that's special and unique within the context of that loving community? Is that not what the documents of the church more tell us, as opposed to, Father, it's all your own thing? that community is meant to work in a different way. Community groups ultimately is where friendship happens, and yet community groups, friendship is not essential to community groups. You don't have to be best friends with the people in your community group, but it is a place to belong. Some of the people that I get on with, I wouldn't regard necessarily as my friends, but gee, they've been terribly helpful in my life. It's interesting, and just as a little aside, fellowship is the Christian word for the sharing of my life in its totality with you. Right? Fellowship is the sharing of my life in its totality with you. No barriers. Fellowship doesn't happen in the big. Fellowship happens in the small. It doesn't happen in the big. You couldn't even do it here. We might have a sense of, hey, we are this Catholic Guy Impact community, but the truth is I haven't even had a chance to get around to say hello to everybody. Because I can't. Community groups is where praying for each other will happen. We're praying for each other. John has been going for a job, and it's a job he's keen on, and today being able to just, you know, we're living in this house together, and we kind of got an extra special community group going right now. We live with each other. I don't recommend it. that's all good. But today I was able to pray with him because we're in this little community group together. You know, prayer is where for each other's needs takes place in that. Who prays for you? Who prays for you when you're going through tough times, when you're going through good things, when you just got dreams and hopes? Who's praying for you? But community groups is a place where people can be close to you to help you grow. Can I ask you this question? Have you got anybody in your life who has permission to say no to you? Anyone in your life besides your wife or husband? They don't get a Guernsey? Anyone else that knows you sufficiently say, I don't know if that's smart. Now, you're always responsible for your decisions. No one can make your decisions for you because it's your life. You're the one who's going to answer before God to it. But you know, I've had some smart people in my life take me aside sometime who've been close to me and say to me, you know that thing you're thinking of doing? You know that way you've behaving? You know that way you've been talking? You know that just action you're going to take? I think you need to think again. Anybody here could have used someone to speak up in their life for anything in the past in their life? But yet we Christians don't have anybody on the whole, do we? Do we? Your heart is going to shrivel if you're not part of a community group, ultimately. And for many of us, our heart have already shriveled because we've never experienced of what it is to be there. See, you need people who know you intimately. You need people who will love you unconditionally. And you need people in your life who will confront you, respecting the fact that you're in charge of your life when you need it. I certainly do. And God wants to use others in our community groups to be the voice that speaks to us. See, some of you I don't know, so it'd be very hard for me to come and say to you, listen, I was praying about you the other day, Eddie, and this is what I was thinking, because I don't know much about what's happening in your life. But were we in relationship together in a deliberate manner, and I hear you share and I get to know you, well, then praying for each other, getting to know each other, often God uses that group of people to be the voice that speaks to us. Now, I've got to admit, I ended up in a small group a couple of times, and after a while you just get into the habit of small group and you turn up and you share life and it's just routine and there's no sense of the miraculous or the spectacular or the awe of God because you forgot. And it's a little bit like turning up to church on Sunday. You forget that I'm at the feast of the Lord when you turn up to Eucharist on Sunday. See, if I understand you correctly, almost all of you are here because you want to reach people who are disconnected from the church. If I understand why you're here, you see people leaving the church and you've got something in your heart that wants to do something about it. But if I get you right, you're here because there's something in your heart saying, together we could make a difference. Together we could do something. Together we could. But what's going to make it different? In time, please, God, we'll have some great music. In time, we might have some great equipment and we might be in some wonderful halls and auditoriums. In time, we might have some spectacular speakers. So what? There's lots of those going around in the world, in the church. There's lots of that. What's going to be different? And what's going to be different is this passage of Scripture, if we live it, that we read on the very first day we began from Acts chapter 2, verse 42. I think it's on your sheet. And it says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and a fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. If I've read this passage 1,000 times, I've probably read it 10,000 times. Because when I read that, I keep thinking to myself, I wonder if it's possible. I'd love to be in a church like that. I'd love to be in a place that was magnetic. I'd love to be in a place where people were interested in me, caring about me. And I realize that I'm using the word me and it's all about me. And it's not often all about me. But I'd love to be there. Where did they break bread? In their homes. They didn't have big auditoriums. The early church, when it first began, eventually they moved into the courts. And they used some of the temple court, some of the courts for their early churches, because churches didn't exist. And very early, they ended up going to the synagogue. And I remember at university doing this assignment one, is how did they move from Saturday to Sunday over the first century? How did they move from the synagogue to the Sabbath over a while? There was a closeness and a fellowship about it. The church is meant to be a place where people are interested in us, not smothering our life, but just interested. Now, I appreciate some of us haven't got a clue what we're doing yet, and we've been coming for the whole time. And I've got to be honest with you, I've studied this backwards, frontwards, upside down, but we're doing something that is so significantly new, lots of this is new to me. Otherwise, I'd have just kept doing what I'm doing. A program is not going to do this. A program's not going to do this. There's no book off the shelf. We're going to write the book. And God is going to use us. And even if we don't get it right, maybe someone will come along in the future who'll get it right based on what we maybe do wrong. So we can't presume that God is going to just do it, but I'm standing here convinced that God wants to use us. And one of the greatest ways for people to experience conversion and a deeper sense of Jesus in their life and a deeper sense of healing in their life, but Jesus in their life, is to live in community. And for most people, they don't. And to live in a community that where we have it so misinterpreted it so many times because of things we've seen in the church or experienced or because of what we use that word, we throw it around, community. But what happens if the only way this will work is not because we're going to do something? Lots of people can do things. It's who we are. The secret to this is you. It's who you become. It's who we are. It is not our structures. Because there's lots of people with good music. There's lots of great speakers out there. There's lots of people with lots of money and good facilities. There's lots of great stuff. The secret to this is you. And that only happens through conversion, through community. And so I'm asking you to put aside your thinking about it. To put aside what you might have experienced. What's the purpose of a small group? It's on the sheet. The purpose of a community group is to help people encounter and grow in an ever-deepening relationship with Jesus Christ so that their lives are so transformed that they cannot but share Jesus with others in how they live, speak, and love. The purpose of the community group is to bring people into this relationship with Jesus that is so dramatically powerful in their life that they are transformed. And you can't be transformed all by yourself. You can have an experience of Jesus, but I've needed women and men in my life at times to speak truth to me and to encourage me and to pick me up in those times when I'm down, and sometimes to put the, you know, to pull me back, rein me in when sometimes I've got something's wrong. Imagine if we were that community. But it's going to take courage, and it's going to take guts, and it's going to take a whole new way of thinking than just us saying, hey, listen, I know what the purpose statement is. Let's go reach people. What we'll do is we'll, you know, there's lots of good courses about becoming a Christian. We could teach them a few things. And I reckon we could organise ourselves to make sure that we get everything, you know, name tags will be at the door. And, you know, if someone's sick, we'll send them some flowers. We could organise ourselves. That don't work. It's proven not to work. What's going to work is you. And the only way we will be transformed now is through us being prepared to take off the mask of success, of failure, of, you know, study or lack of study, of who we, and being honest with a group of people and saying, I want to grow more deeply in Jesus. Will you help me? That's the only thing that's going to do it, because that's what people will be attracted to.
Have you ever been to something that you really enjoy and then at the end of it you stop and you say to yourself, what's next? What do I do now? Well, we get asked that question all the time. And so what we did was we decided to come up with a way of helping people figure out what's next. Every week we send to people an email, and in that email that goes right into your inbox, we send a link that takes you to another talk, another message, some more material that will help you go more deeply in your life and in your walk with God. You also receive with it some reflection notes and study notes. Some people do them by themselves, some people do them with friends, some people even have been doing them with parish groups. I've got to be honest, we never thought that that would happen. And the whole goal of it is to grow more deeply. We're called into an ever-deepening relationship with God. We're not called to be a people that are stagnant, that just believe and then that's the end, but rather a rich relationship with Jesus that takes us to a place where we more deeply surrender our lives and experience the power and the wonder of God in our life, because that is what's next. The Bible tells us that when we have needs, that we should gather our friends around and we should ask them to pray for us. Well, sometimes finding people to pray for us can be difficult. So why don't you write to me on the addresses on your screen, and I and my prayer team, the people who pray for me, will join with you in asking God to be fantastic in your situation. Now, if you couldn't get to church this week, or for some reason you just don't think you can go to church right now, and you'd know the reason for that, I want you to know that there are people in the community who want to love you and care for you, who want you to be there to love and care for them as well. Community takes effort on both sides. Well, that's it. I'm Bruce Downs. You've been watching The Catholic Guy. We'll see you next time. And remember, wherever you are around the world today, God is never far from you.
You've been listening to Bruce Downs, The Catholic Guy on cradio.org.au. To find out more about The Catholic Guy's discipleship program, visit whatsnext.thecatholicguy.tv. To send Bruce a prayer request, visit the contact section at thecatholicguy.tv. For more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.